Good morning and welcome inside hour three. Big show in the morning, proudly sponsored by Grey Wolf Golf Course, located in a spectacular alpine setting at Panorama Mountain Resort. Grey Wolf is a course that wins people over time and time again. A dynamite collection of par threes, the diabolical cliffhanger hole is unquestionably one of the best in the world, with beautifully sculpted bent grass fairways, hair-raising elevation changes. Your round at Grey Wolf is going to be one for the ages. Voted BC's number one public course by Score Golf. Authentic mountain golf. Book today at greywolf.com. Have you got out to swing the sticks much this year, Will? Because I was playing a little mountain golf on the weekend. I was camping out near Sparwood. And I found a way to fit the clubs into the back of the vehicle.
I'm sure Haley was thrilled about that.
She wasn't, actually. She was not happy.
She's like, yeah, actually, Matt, let's find a way to get these in here.
Yeah, she was eager. Eager beaver. She couldn't wait.
It was actually her idea.
Yeah, it was her idea. That's not true. But we got them in, went out and swung them about a bit. I do love some mountain golf. No Grey Wolf, though.
It is hard to beat, that is for sure. Make sure whenever you do mountain golf that you've got lots of extra balls. That's usually the move.
It's interesting because, you know, I'm used to playing on the flat prairies. And there would be instances where the old slice would creep back in. And you're playing basically on a 45-degree slope for the entire time, going left to right. And I found one ball two holes over on one particular shot. So we left that one. Didn't go grab that. Let it be. Oh, well.
It's not worth it.
No.
I haven't been out a ton, of course, as we talked about the rodeo earlier. The shift I used to be on makes life tough to find time for the golf course.
Mornings, though? Mornings?
No excuse.
Prime.
No excuse.
Prime. Golf and day drinking. It's one thing you can really do when you get on these morning shows. That's what I'll say.
Well, you never met a beer you didn't like, so.
Never met a craft beer I didn't like.
That's a good point. Yeah. Good point. Yeah. You and Pinder, very bougie.
I just like good quality products. I don't think I'm asking for a lot here, Will. I really don't.
Kind of picky.
Adnan Virk's going to join us in about 15 minutes time. Baseball, Jay sliding, movies. What are we talking to Adnan about today?
Well, what is new in the pop culture world?
Well, we got the Thor movie coming out this weekend, Love and Thunder, Taika Waititi.
You must be going first day.
I am not because we've got a Stampeders game and round one of the draft on Thursday.
Yeah.
Commitment to the bit. But if I don't see it this weekend, I'm going to be livid.
Friday matinee after the show?
I think it's probably going to be like a Sunday 6 o'clocker.
Nice.
Friday the draft will still be going, so I'll probably want to take that in. I might get a late round of golf in, and then I got early round Saturday, Sunday. So
it's good being you.
I think I'm gonna go on Sunday. Yeah, it's not bad. It could be worse. It could be a lot worse. It could also be better.
Yeah, a lot of excitement for the Thor movie.
So that's the one. But Adnan's never really been huge on the Marvel ones for
a
while.
Not a superhero guy. That's
but
for
I
sure.
Understand why. I don't know what else has just come out. Like, I know Boomer saw Top Gun over the weekend.
There's the Elvis movie.
Do we know if that's
We've
any good?
We've talked to him about that one already.
What did he say?
And he said it was good. My girlfriend actually went and saw it. She's a huge Elvis fan. And I picked her up. I didn't go. She went with her aunts and her mom.
Mm-hmm.
But picked her up and sobbing uncontrollably.
Just a mess, eh?
But yeah, I've heard it's very good. Austin Butler, who plays Elvis, does a phenomenal job.
Just perfect looking.
So you've seen it, do you mind?
I haven't seen it. I'm gonna.
Well, get out of here with your strong opinions if you haven't seen it yet. Come on.
Big excitement. Tom Hanks is in it too.
GVP, are you a movie guy?
I'm a movie guy. I haven't seen Elvis though, but I did see the new Top Gun.
It was so fun.
Very good. I've not seen the new Jurassic. Heard it's awful.
Yeah, I also heard that.
You
gonna dress up in a suit and go see Minions?
No. I was saying the other day, who was I talking
to? That's
a
weird, cringy trend.
I haven't even seen Despicables. Like I never.
I haven't seen those either.
Oh, you're missing out.
Yeah, no,
but
no,
I feel
thanks.
Like I need to go down that path. Lame. I heard it's very good.
Oh, they're incredible. They are incredible. They're one of my favorite.
Who's saying no thanks back films. There?
Me.
Okay.
Why don't you like Despicable Me?
I don't like the minions. I don't like the
they're
little
the
yellow
best part.
They creep you out.
If I was younger when they came out, I'd probably be a little more, but I was like 20 or something, 24, 25 when they came out, so no.
Now, I do know that Adnan was at Minions on the weekend, so we'll ask him about that for sure.
They're so much fun. I'm going to have to vehemently disagree with you here, Patty.
That's okay.
The Minions are incredible. They're so adorable, and they get up to such hijinks.
I don't know how you can sit there and say they scare you. That's a bold take.
They're goofy and
banana,
fun.
Like, what the heck is that? What is that?
Sorry, what was that?
They banana.
That's how they speak.
Sorry, one more time.
Banana. Is that how they talk?
Can we just clip that GVP?
Yeah, just clip that GVP.
One more time, Dumont. Make sure it's clean. One more time for us.
No.
Oh.
Oh.
Oh, come on.
Hearts.
You get the three.
So we'll dive into that with Adnan. Looking forward to that.
See, Adnan's got a minion voice.
Yeah, he's
got
to do. You got him to do one.
Well, he's just seen it, so he'll have a point of reference at least.
That's right.
There you go.
It's just a money pit for Steve Carell. Just cleaning up.
Guy does all right. I'm a big fan, though, so can't.
So you're not complaining?
No. I love
more Steve Carell,
and I love The Office.
More Steve Carell.
What else has he been in?
40 Year Old
Virgin. Horrible Bosses. He was great. 40 Year Old Virgin's a classic. Was he in Horrible Bosses? Wasn't he one of the bosses?
No, he wasn't.
Who am I thinking of there?
He was an Anchorman.
Yeah, he was Brick.
Yeah.
Where'd you get a grenade?
Who were you thinking of, though?
I don't know who I was thinking of.
Horrible Bosses? Were you thinking of...
Because
you're thinking of Colin Farrell.
Quite possibly. I don't know.
It's got to be my guess.
I did like me some Horrible Bosses. We were going to talk about NHL trade targets in this segment, and then got a little bit hijacked.
It's all good.
Alex DeBrincat, Flyers, make sense for you?
I really didn't have him on my radar until Elliot mentioned it, to be perfectly honest with you, just because it felt like going into the offseason, Philadelphia wasn't a team that had a lot of cap space to do much. Now, and you know, to Elliot's point, not only did they not really have cap space to do stuff, they also are a team that was way out of the playoffs and will need more than one piece to get back in that conversation. So DeBrincat makes him a better team, but knowing that he's a guy that is likely going to get a pay raise at some point in the very near future.
One more year at 6.4.
Does it make a lot of sense? I mean, Philadelphia is always a team that does things that kind of make you scratch your head, so maybe it does happen, but yeah, I didn't have them on my radar, to be honest with you.
I think that Philadelphia believes they are closer than the last season showed because of a couple reasons. One, the Ryan Ellis injury, where he played only 4 games the entire season, and although the rehab is coming along, it does sound like there's still not much of a...
Yeah, there's still not confidence he's going
to
play.
...bonafide timeline, so... That's unfortunate if you have to start another season without basically one of the better shutdown defensemen in the league and ideally probably the best partner for Ivan Provorov. And then the other thing for the Flyers is they only played 11 games all year with their top two centers in Sean Couturier and Kevin Hayes. They were without Couturier or Hayes for basically the entire season, one or the other. Couturier for the entire second half. So if you do have those three guys healthy for an entire year, I don't think you're 40 points out of the playoffs. I think you're probably closer to a playoff spot, maybe battling for one. But in that sense, I do wonder about Philadelphia being one of those teams that feels like they're just a piece or two away. You know, I wonder if this is a week that James Van Riemsdyk gets dealt. We've continued to hear his name as a guy that if the Flyers are going to shed any type of salary, moving out a guy like James Van Riemsdyk, who's comes in at a reasonable 5-point-something cap hit, you know, a relatively effective player in a middle-six role, like kind of maybe a lesser kind of Tyler Toffoli-ish type of player. One more year, $7 million. He doesn't have a no-trade, doesn't have a no-move. You don't have to worry about any of that type of stuff, so you can move him wherever you want. But right now, he's the second-highest-paid forward and the second-highest-paid player. Pardon me, third highest paid player on the team behind Kevin Hayes and Sean Couturier. So if you move him out, all of a sudden things are looking a little bit different. But he's interesting to be the very top of the board from Frank Saravalli, because it's a guy who scores a half game, half a goal per game, 41 goals in 82 games last season. Young player, highly touted, reasonable cap hit for one more year. He's easily Chicago's best trade chip, even when you consider that they're in the final year of Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews. Because what are you getting back for two aging veterans? And what is the future look like for guys like Patrick Kane, Jonathan Toews?
You know, we talked about Iginla earlier in terms of, it's a very similar feel with Patrick Kane. I mean, the Blackhawks are not going to deal him unless he says, I want to be traded. But if you're Patrick Kane, like, why would you want to stay there this year?
Everything that Jonathan Toews said near the end of the year told me this is going very poorly, and I wouldn't be surprised if both these guys are gone.
Like, I get it. I've been to Chicago. I think it's an unbelievable city. Yeah. And being there, making $10.5 million is probably a pretty awesome life. But at some point, wouldn't you want to get out of there, which the last half decade have been awful years? And Patrick Kane is still a guy who produces at over a point per game. It doesn't really make a lot of sense to me. And, you know, I think that he doesn't owe them anything, I guess. But I would just think if you're Patrick Kane, you would also say, you know, if I agree to be traded now, or if I ask them to be moved, I'm giving my former club, who has done so much for me, an opportunity to get quite a haul for 1 year of my service.
And obviously, Patrick Kane's got the full no-movement clause. His actual salary is significantly less than $10.5 million. It's only $2.9 million, so that's the real money. He had a signing bonus that's already been paid. That was $4 million, so you don't have to worry about that if you're an acquiring team. You know, it being the final year of a deal, do you see a situation where Chicago retains half the salary and able to make this work, and he becomes a $5.25 million player? I certainly could see that, because if you're Chicago, it doesn't hamper you for any more seasons past this. He's the one that you've got a lot of interest in.
Yeah,
I mean, all due respect
to Toews, I don't think there's a lot of interest there.
Even at 5.25.
Yeah.
I think that you're still finding that
incredibly challenging
hard
to move.
Swallow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, again, it's up to Patrick Kane. The ball is completely in his court. I just have to think, and maybe it's different because he's already won three Stanley Cups. Maybe that desire to win a cup isn't at the same level because you've done it three times, but at least get back in a competitive setting. I think that would be an ideal thing for Patrick Kane, but we'll wait and see. And at this point, because we haven't heard much about it, it doesn't feel like that's going to happen.
And we continue to wait on who the Blackhawks will pick in the first. No, never mind. They won't pick. That sixth overall selection belongs to the Blue Jackets as part of the Seth Jones trade. They also got Cole Sillinger out of that. Oof. And Adam Bokvist. Wow. What a haul.
What a deal. Gross.
Brutal. Brutal.
Absolutely gross.
I wonder what we see for trades this week, but we'll have to wait to find out. Thursday's not too far away. And Dan Virk not too far away either.
Oh, he's right around the corner.
How'd you like that for a little segue? This is the Big Show in the Morning, proudly sponsored by Grey Wolf Golf Course. And around the corner, our life insider, Adnan Virk, drops by. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Welcome back to the show. Reminder, we've got the NHL draft coming up on Thursday. Full coverage live from Montreal. Round one coverage Thursday at 5:00. Rounds 2 through 7 happening Friday morning at 9. Have not had a chance to talk with Steinberg about it, but I'm guessing because the draft is back in person.
Yeah.
Now, the last couple of years, the second day of the draft, rounds 2 through 7, took about 19 hours.
Long time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing it'll be back to normal where they fly through the final 5 rounds of the draft. Either way, full coverage for you here on Sportsnet 960. Thanks to our good friends and our sponsor, the Children's Hospital Lottery. Purchase tickets before the July 20th early bird deadline to win the $1.6 million dream home plus $200,000 cash. Visit Children's Hospital Lottery. Ticketmaster.ca. Please play responsibly. Some tough luck with guests today. Adnan Virk, MIA.
Doing a review. Tippy tapping away on the keyboard, getting those Minions reviews up.
I guarantee he's talking about it today on his Cinephile podcast.
Love the show.
In relation to our last segment, 960-960, fan feedback line, always wide open to you. Will Nault, Matt Rose, by the way, along with you today on the big show in the morning. What do you think Taves is worth after this year? I honestly don't know. And I do wonder what he signs for. Does he even sign? Does he call it a career? I wouldn't be surprised by any of that, to be honest with you.
I don't think so either. I'm just... Who are some veteran players that have got up there in age, you know, 35, and then signed recently? Like, what's Joe Pavelski at? Is that a fair comparison?
No, because Pavelski remained
closer to Kane than Taves
main productive.
Right?
Yeah, so hard to say. We've located our guest, by the way. So you do research on that, and then we will rehash
it. Keep looking for 35-year-old NHLers.
Look for some comparables. I think Adnan Virk's contract's worth the same amount, though.
Really?
As he joins us right now. Mr. Virk, good morning. How are you, sir?
I'm great. Well, I'm very good. I'm just watching a little tennis right now. Novak Djokovic.
Oh, that's why. That's why you didn't answer.
Yeah, that's exactly what I wasn't answering.
Oh, there's Fed. Hang on a second. There's Federer. I got to go to the bathroom. We'll be right back.
Let's keep it clean here, okay? We don't know these.
It's a family show, Virk. Come on.
Yeah, exactly. Djokovic, though, down the first two sets, now up 4-1 third set. So who knows? You know me, though. As you mentioned, when I saw Federer the other day, you know, be still my beating heart. I've already laid down plans to my wife and said, listen, Federer's going to hope to come back next year. One final Wimbledon, the last dance. I said, I got to be there. Now, you guys know it's that's $6,000 just to get across the pond. That's just the plane tickets. Now, as far as getting a single ticket to see Federer, and by the way, I'm going to have to get like a first round ticket, let's be honest. Mm-hmm. Serena got knocked out in the first round. Could you imagine if I paid $6,000 to get there? I get like a third round ticket.
Would be par for the course, wouldn't it?
No, that's not true. He was in the quarterfinals the last time he played Wimbledon a couple of years ago, and he's going to get back into shape, Laver Cup this September. He's not going to play the U.S. Open. So I think Federer, listen, if a year ago he went quarterfinal, I can at least get to a quarterfinal. But I'm not going to take any chance. First round match, I'm going to work on it right now, see if I can be there at the All England Club. I'll be joining you guys for this hit next year from the All England Club. Think of that.
I love it. Well, then you definitely won't answer the phone, and that's perfect. I will say this, though, in terms of you being in the New York area, and you've been there now for a couple of years, I'm curious if you've been or have plans to go to the U.S. Open.
A few times. Well, I love it. Even when I was in Connecticut, it was a bit of a hike, as you know. I mean, that's a good two and a hay if you're trying to go to Queens, especially that time, traffic, all the rest of it. But I went and saw Fed. One of my buddies from Canada is a huge tennis guy. I was like, listen, I'm going to get tickets for the final. Hopefully Fed's in it. Can't remember the year right now, but it was Djokovic Federer. And it worked out beautifully. Like, you know, you're going to get the tickets in advance. And he's just, all right, here we go. And great match. I believe Djokovic won in four sets. But it was great, you know, highly contested. And I was actually near a couple of Serbians who were just going nuts cheering for Djokovic. But they're very classy. As I was crying and despondent, they're like, no, listen, they go, we all love Federer. Like, he's everyone's second favorite player. But, like, if we weren't Serbian, we'd be cheering for Federer. I'm like, well, thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Yeah. But, yeah, I went a couple of years final, and then I always go. Last year I went, I saw our Canadian. I saw OJ Aliassime actually last year in the night session, and it's great. There's two types of fans. Either people go during the day, and you can kind of bounce around. Let's say pay $50 or something, and you can kind of go and literally watch five different matches bounce around. Or you do what I do, which is you pay $60, and you just go to the night session, and you get one match at 7, one match at 9:30, generally men's and women's. And the big reason is it's too bloody hot during the day. Are you kidding? New York City in, like, late August? It's 95. I don't want to see a bunch of guys sweating out there.
Yeah, you might want to bring about 9 extra shirts if you're going to go.
Yeah, everyone says, well, they go, oh, it's a great, you know, you get to watch 5 different matches. They go, well, I get it, but you're sweating your freaking, you know what, off. So, no, I'll just sit upstairs and at least the night session, you know you're going to get a good match. And it was OJ Aliassime. He beat an American last year, so it's great. We had a good little Canada-USA feisty showdown. But anybody who's a tennis fan, I'm telling you, U.S. Open, great event, mainly because of the fans. I mean, there's New Yorkers. They get into it. It's really, it's a loud, boisterous crowd.
I was going to say, like, what the atmosphere is like. I've never been to a live tennis tournament myself, but, of course, you've got to be super quiet during play. But as you mentioned, after points or after games, it sounds like it can get quite rowdy.
Totally. And you would think, Will, like, they're a gentleman's game, right? Very old school. People all wear, especially if you're watching Wimbledon right now, I mean, they're all wearing their tennis whites, and it has so much elegance and prestige to it. But those New Yorkers get after it. So it's not quite like being at a Yankee Met game. But I'll be honest, because it was, I'm guessing Tiafoe now was the American, but because it was Canada-America, it's, you know, 7:30 on a Thursday summer night. Summer's coming to an end. That crowd gets pretty loud. So it's a really funny feeling. It gets a real hush over the crowd, like silence as they're smashing the ball back and forth. And the biggest thing you notice live is just how hard they're hitting it. You can't replicate that on television. You go, I can hit that. That doesn't look that tough. When you watch it bursting, but those things are rockets. Like, how do they hit it that hard and with that kind of control in the net and not into the net? It's amazing. But then as soon as the point's over, a big roar from the crowd. Okay, well, and the later it gets, listen, we've all seen those images, right? Four-set match, five-set match, ends at 1:30 in the morning. A lot of inebriated New Yorkers getting after it in between points.
Outstanding stuff. And what's the food scene like at the U.S. Open?
Not bad. I mean, again, overpriced as you'd expect. But you can get like a chicken tender and fry, maybe $10.50. Because it's tennis, it gets a little foo-foo. I wouldn't say you can get sushi, but it's not just burgers and dogs. Like, you can actually get a grilled chicken sandwich if you want to be a little healthier. Like, okay, great, grilled chicken. Not just pizza and, you know, the usual tater tots.
It's outstanding. Adnan Virk is with us. Shift gears a little bit here. A rare off night last night for Alek Manoah. It's been a tough run here for the Toronto Blue Jays.
Yeah, surprising. Manoah's been like the one guy you can count on. You know, we're now at the 81-game point of the season for so many of these teams, which happens right around Independence Day here in the States. And you can really start to assess your team. And for Toronto, you say, listen, the division ain't going to happen. And when you're double digits back, 12, 13, 14 games, forget about it. Right now, it's them, Tampa, and Boston, and within a game or so of each other for the wild card spot. So that's really what's going to happen in the second half of the season. But if you asked me, who's been your overachiever, who's been your underachiever, the underachiever has come out very quickly. You know, Jose Barrios has been a real disappointment. Kikuchi's been a disappointment. Bo Bichette, even though he's up for an all-star bid, he's going to hit better. He drives in a lot of runs, but he's going to be an overall better hitter, along with Teoscar Hernandez. But if you said to me, overachiever, the first one out of my mouth is Alek Manoah. I'm like, this guy's outstanding. I mean, he's, I think, been underrated throughout much of baseball for the beginning to his career, but not anymore. I mean, he's like top five in ERA prior to that start last night. So to see him get roughed up, and again, it wasn't like he got bombed, but, you know, four runs and five and two-thirds, whatever it was for him, that's a rough outing. So when your ace or ace B, if you want to call Gosman, when your ace gets roughed up like that, that's frustrating right now for this Blue Jays team. And it was a tough series against the Rays. And like I said, I think it's going to be a challenge because Boston right now has 14 straight games against either the Yankees or the Rays going into the All-Star break. And then they got three against the Blue Jays. So for Toronto, they I don't want to be scoreboard watching. You got to take care of your own. But this is a critical stretch. If the Sox go, you know, let's say 6-8 over the stretch, and then Toronto can take 2 or 3 against them, you can really deal a decisive blow towards Boston's direction. But if the Red Sox stay hot and then take care of business against Toronto, the Jays could be in some trouble. So the next few weeks, I think, is going to be very, very interesting for this Blue Jays team.
And, you know, you look at across Major League Baseball, all the talk has been the Yankees, and you can understand why. But how about the run that the Houston Astros have been on and the one that they're on right now, Adnan? And I got myself thinking, I mean, were they always going to be a team that people have a hard time cheering for now?
It's interesting. I think with time it may dissipate, but you're right. We're not there just yet. I mean, if you say Astros to a casual baseball fan, the first thing they think of that 2017 is the cheating scandal. So, you know, it's been 5 years now, but it only came out a few years ago. So maybe you have to wait until 2027 or 2030 and eventually go, okay, well, I guess. Once all those guys are gone, I think it becomes different. Correa's gone, but Bregman's still there, and Altuve's still there, and the whole stain of a championship still feels like it. But I think if you can remove yourself from it a little bit, you can appreciate just how good this team is. Their starting pitching is ridiculous. All year we've talked about the Yankees rotation, how good they've been. The Astros rotation, I think, might be better. Verlander is up for another Cy Young. I've got him and McClanahan right now, 1A, 1B. But after that, Framber Valdez struck a 14 the other day. Luis Garcia is really good. Christian Javier had a no-hitter earlier this year, combined no-hitter. Like, they've got arms all over the place. And that's pretty impressive considering that in the past, you look to lanes like Lance McCullers, who just aren't a part of the mix, or Zach Greinke. They've had so many good young arms come up and supplant those guys. And offensively, Yordan Alvarez is now making a push for MVP. I mean, if all along we thought, well, it's going to be Aaron Judge is no problem. Otani's been better lately. His ERA is at 2.68, which is a half a run lower than a year ago. And he's on pace for 37 home runs and 103 RBI. So, fine, it's not what Otani did a year ago, 45 home runs, but pretty darn close, again, for an Angels team which is going nowhere. But then you look at Yordan Alvarez, he leads the American League in on-base percentage and OPS, which is on-base plus slugging. So he is just an absolute machine. Walk-off hit yesterday, and I'm telling you, anybody who thought, well, okay, Judge's first FMVP, Yordan might be the MVP by the end of it. And him and Kyle Tucker, again, two names that you do not think of when I mentioned the Houston Astros, have really carried this Astros offense. So outstanding starting pitching, two great hitters right there, and they're running away with that division. As much as I say no one's going to challenge the Yankees in the East, nobody is catching the Astros in the West.
And Dan, one of the things I love about baseball is rehab performances, because you don't see it in other major leagues. And I love it because you get a player who's about 85%, goes down, and usually just beats the tar out of a bunch of guys before he goes back to the majors and resumes his career. And we saw that from Jacob DeGrom recently. What did you make of him just ripping through the minors?
Yeah, my buddy John Heyman, MLB Network colleague, New York Post writer, he tweeted, he goes, might be the greatest rehab performance ever. I mean, I think it was 21 pitches and 12 of them were swing and misses. And I want to say at least 15 were strikes. And he struck out five of the six guys and he hit 100 on at least a couple of those pitches. I mean, that is ridiculous. Because normally you figure rehabs are, at least I do, I figure the guy's coming out at 80, 85%. And just kind of, you know, letting it fly without really doing any sort of exertion. But instead, DeGrom looked like he was like he was ready to pitch game seven of the World Series. I'm like, okay, listen, I get that it's single A. He's going to overwhelm them, but he looked awesome. And it looks like they're going to give him at least two, maybe three more rehab starts. They want to be very cautious with him. But this was the formula all along for the Mets. You know, fans were drooling in the spring saying, Scherzer and DeGrom, with this pair of aces, who's going to beat us? And I understand there's frustration because they had a 10.5-game lead, which has been whittled down to 3.5 at last check. But the point is, you're still in first place, and now you're getting Scherzer and DeGrom back. Now, DeGrom, I don't know how much you can count on because he hasn't pitched in a year. I mean, July 7th is the last time he was on a major league mound. So I get it if you say, listen, DeGrom, I don't know if he's really going to come back. But Scherzer's a horse. That guy had a 5-1, 2.5 ERA before he got hurt May 18th. Very rarely that he gets hurt. Throwing gas the other day. What a generous guy, by the way. Double-A start. Afterwards took all the guys out for dinner. A $7,000 dinner. Max Scherzer's like, you know, boys, I got this one. Enjoy the steaks. Hopefully I don't ever see you again. Let's bring a World Series to New York. So classy move from Scherzer. Scherzer pitches tonight for the Mets. I'd be surprised if he isn't really good. The Mets rotation, their ERA is 5.03 since both those guys went down. It's 21st in baseball. But that's to be expected. You're losing Scherzer and DeGrom. They still have a great offense. Alonso, top three MVP candidate. Lindor's on pace to drive in 118 runs. You know, Brandon Nimmo hit a home run yesterday. They still got lots of good players up and down that lineup. So I think for the Mets, you tell yourself, hey, we're still in first place. The Braves are defending World Series champions. It's not like we were surprised. They're not going to go anywhere. I get that. But we're getting our boys back. We should be healthy. And that'll feel like huge trade deadline acquisitions. Trade deadline this year is at August 2nd. But if you can tell yourself as a Mets fan, we got Scherzer back, we got DeGrom back, that's going to feel great.
Oh, that classic cliche. Oh, it feels like a trade deadline acquisition. You love to see it. And the other thing that's hilarious is I saw it on social media, because I'm with you on that same clip, and John Heyman talking about Jacob DeGrom. Those poor single-A hitters, Adnan, they're like, you know what, we're just going to retire, because what are we doing here?
Definitely felt like a humbling moment. You're like, oh, my God. I'm just trying to work my way up.
Oh, so we're quite a ways from the majors then, hey? That's okay.
Right. Yeah.
Got it.
Exactly. Like, you know, one day I can do it. You know, at that level, so much of that is building confidence. Oh, wait, here's Jacob DeGrom throwing smoke. You know what? I'm going to go ahead and just be a truck driver. I just wait for a workout. I'll just be realistic.
Oh, it's hilarious. Adnan Virk is our guest. Final baseball one for you. Just thought it was interesting. No Yankee game and no game in New York City on the 4th of July.
Yeah, it made things easier for me because I was like, all right, I don't have to work. This is great. I got to be the grill man yesterday. My wife invited a bunch of her family over from Long Island. So About 25 people, I was like, oh, my God, I hope we don't get COVID. But thankfully, again, I stayed outside. I just stayed by the grill. So I grilled up about 20 beef burgers, at least 15 hot dogs, some bulgogi, which I wasn't crazy about. I'm like, you got to try the bulgogi. Like, what the? Korean beef, for those unfamiliar, a little bit of steak tips, I guess you could call them. Not quite tips, but you know what I'm saying, beef strips. So the bulgogi was good. Although, it was funny, no one ever wants to be questioned on their cooking. One of the guys said to me after, he's like, hey, dude, great job. I'm like, thanks. He said, no, like, burgers, awesome. Hey, because the bulgogi, maybe a little less next time. I'm like, what? He goes, burgers and dogs, you can cook. You can cook thoroughly, like at a high heat, which I saw you doing 450, 500. You're just cranking that crap out. He said, but with, you know, the bulgogi, you know, tenderizing, you don't get rid of all the juices. And I go, oh, my God. Yeah. And I appreciate the constructive criticism. You want to wait a week? Like, I'm just sweating bolts right now. I don't even have a kiss the cook apron on right now, but I'm getting feedback. But regardless, I was happy to be the grill man. The one thing did not go well for anybody out there for your next Canada Day or perhaps Labor Day barbecue, which, by the way, I want to hear both of your reactions. Do you call it a barbecue or a cookout? Because that's a big source of controversy right now in New York, New Jersey area. But the key was this. Nobody touched the salmon burgers, and nobody touched the shrimp burgers. I mean, four of each. Boys, I still have six right now sitting in my fridge. I think these kids are going to eat a shrimp burger for lunch? Come on. Beef burgers and dogs is the way to go.
Yeah, it's true. And, you know, I could go for a salmon. I like salmon, so I would do a salmon burger over a shrimp burger.
Yeah, shrimp burger? What's that?
Nah.
What does that entail?
Thanks. Don't.
That sounds
I'm good. Thanks.
Sketchy.
Shrimp burger, tough. So, and how many shrimp make a shrimp burger? Right? Shrimp are so small.
Yeah, what do you got? 30, yeah. What do you got? 36 in there? What's going on here?
Are they full shrimp?
You know, like Matt, if somebody you know say, hey, let's have a get together. Do you call it a barbecue or a cookout?
Barbecue for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, barbecue. I feel like cookout's an American thing.
Without a doubt.
1,000%. That's exactly what I surmise as well. Like I've never heard that term upon coming to America 12 years ago. It's a barbecue. You want to come over for a barbecue? What exactly is a cookout? We are barbecuing food. I have food on a grill. That's a barbecue. No, it's a cookout. Yeah. I got your cookout right here. It's a BBQ, baby.
Are you, that's your space, your master of the grill? That's your jam?
Yeah, my wife told me last night after everybody had left, she was like, I got to be honest with you, I was skeptical. I go, what? She goes, we really only had one true barbecue a couple years ago. I go, it was in the midst of COVID. She goes, yeah, 2020. She goes, and you were fine. But he goes, I don't remember you cooking a lot. I think like other guys were kind of helping you, giving you tips. Like I remember there was a meat thermometer at one point. I'm like, well, yeah, like somebody, my brother told me, he's like, listen, it's hard. You don't really know when the thing is cooked. So make sure you have a meat thermometer. And I said, God, it seems really precise. But yes, they had no meat thermometer. I'm like, are you kidding? It's a burger. I know when it's cooked. I can put buns on a back burner. I can put a hot dog. But you want a little black, a little brown? You want a little crispy? No problem. So she was, I'm not joking, pleasantly surprised. Those are the exact words. She goes, I was skeptical how you do by yourself, but I thought you did great. I'm like, okay. So she goes, next step is I want to see if you can marinate your own steak and then cook it. I go, isn't that pretty easy? Like you just take some seasoning and just put on some meat. I want to see you do it. I go, okay, fine. Next step, marination of steak. If anybody has any tips, go ahead and tweet me.
Yeah, honey, you didn't know there's a thing called Google. I'll be fine. Thanks.
I see these things. It looks like a little paintbrush. You just take a little paintbrush, you dip it in something, and there you go. Yeah. Steak marination.
Yeah. Boom. Okay. No problem.
The problem is here. A couple other fun ones before we let you go. Curious your take as a Flyer fan. A lot of smoke lately about Claude Giroux going to move to Alberta and be a member of the Oilers next season.
Yeah, listen, I love Giroux. I will always cheer for him. He's one of my top five favorite Flyers of all time. And, you know, I think the Oilers could use some more depth. It's funny, every year we talk about it and go, man, when are they going to get some other guys that can supplement what their superstars can do with McDavid and Draisaitl? And we saw what Evander Kane did, by the way. It ended up being a great pickup. I think I had like 12 playoff goals. It was ridiculous how effective Kane was on a very team-friendly contract. And sure, Nugent Hopkins shows flashes, but you get a Giroux up there, and he's your second-line playmaker. I still think at his age, 34, 35, he's signed to a 2 or 3 year contract. He can be effective, and that's what Edmonton is going to have to do. We all know that they pay so much to their top guys. They're not going to go out and land other superstars. This isn't the NBA. But a guy like Giroux, I think, would be totally effective. Again, been there before, right? Been a winner. Obviously, has had playoff experience. I would have liked to have seen him win a cup with Florida. Hasn't gotten to the Holy Grail, but he might be someone that can help up an Edmonton team, which, listen, I think if you look at it big picture, they did what they needed to do in terms of getting out of the first round. If they had lost the first round again, I'm like, oh, my God, the clock is ticking on McDavid team. I'm getting the hell out of here. I got enough of this. But the fact they at least won a round, okay, fine. Made a little bit of noise, sure. So I think Giroux could be that kind of player that can give them a little oomph, give them a little juice, so to speak.
Wanted to also ask, getting to some movie stuff. You saw the Minions movie over the weekend. What'd you think?
It's not a surprise, Matty. I went in, you know, low expectations. I do with most of these kids' movies. But I love Alan Arkin. Alan Arkin, the great Academy Award-winning actor for Little Miss Sunshine. He plays who we think is a villain. We're not going to spoil anything. But Gru, who is, of course, the world's favorite foremost supervillain, the star of Despicable Me and voiced by Steve Carell, this is a prequel. So this is the Minions' Rise of Gru. We're going back to see how did Gru become Gru. And he wants to be a supervillain, and so he's trying to learn from the best, who is this old coot voiced by Alan Arkin. And I liked their relationship, you know, father-son relationship. I thought it was funny, really well done. But, of course, it is the Minions who always steal the show. And as I was watching the movie, Matty, it said to me, you know, who thinks up this stuff? Like, how many drugs do these people make? I mean, these animators and these kids filmmakers, like, how do you think of this? We're going to have a bunch of yellow characters, and one guy's got one eye, and it's Bob and Stuart and Kevin, and they're not going to make any sense. They're going to just mumble gibberish. And it's not just going to be like a five-minute thing. We're going to have an entire film dedicated to that. Like, it's remarkable success story in Hollywood. Because, again, if you go back, Despicable Me is about Steve Carell. It's about Gru and a little bit of the Minions. They became so popular that they got their spinoff. That's like if you watch Star Wars and said the Ewoks are, you know, a secondary character. But then they became a movie devoted to the Ewoks. Like, what? No, I want to see Star Wars. I don't give a damn about the Ewoks. I take it for 10 minutes at this. But the Minions end up becoming stars. It's baffling to me. But I enjoyed it for a kids' movie. And the best part is always 90 minutes. I think it was 87 minutes. I checked my watch. You know, that's pretty good. That's enough for a large popcorn and a refill and a couple of slushies.
There you go. In and out. No problem. Also wanted to ask, man, you watch Stranger Things? It just concluded with the fourth season over the weekend.
Yeah, I don't watch it. My wife does. And I have a buddy of mine at work was telling me about it. He said, this season, much more darker. Mm. He said, it's been really violent and nightmarish and creepy. He said, the kids are no longer kids. Like, they're not lovable anymore. Now they're like, you know, adolescents. So he was telling me he likes it, but it's dark. And I know it finished up this weekend. My wife hasn't had a chance. We were too busy with the barbecue / cookout. So she'll watch it this week and give me her review shortly.
Maybe it's about the same review as your cook skills, but we'll have to wait and see in terms of the review on that show.
I was skeptical, but it went better than
that's
I thought.
Right.
Okay?
That's right. Before we let you go, just because I saw that you were all over on Twitter, it was the big talk yesterday. Thoughts on Mr. Broussard just crushing Toronto?
I couldn't believe it. I've always liked Chris. I worked with him at ESPN. He's a great guy, funny. I love how he has like a unique style about him. And he was very critical of ESPN because he was type of LeBron. So he was always great with breaking news at the era that I was at ESPN 2010 to 2019. He's now with Fox. And definitely part of the job is not just to be a breaking news guy. At Fox, he's got to be a provocateur and sort opinions that will get a little buzz going. And let's be honest, if I asked you what the sporting landscape is in the States, it's ESPN and everybody else. So Fox wants to cut into that a little bit. And so if the goal is to get some headlines, well, Chris Broussard is your unanimous winner for a day and a half on Twitter. I see every Canadian and every Torontonian specifically furious and mad. For those that missed it, what he said is that with regards to the rumors of Durant going to Toronto, he said, listen, I love Toronto. It's a great city. It's a diverse city, but it's not great for African-Americans. And he goes, they've had a problem in the past keeping African-Americans there. And, you know, it's just different. He goes, if you're a black guy in Toronto, it's just different. I'm not sure Durant will be comfortable being there. So even as he said the comment, if you watch the clip, 20-second clip, you can quickly find it on Twitter. You even see, I believe one of the hosts, or I believe it's Nick Wright, one of the panelists. He kind of raises his eyebrow, like, not so sure about that. And what I think is now funny, and again, I love Chris. I think he's a smart guy. He knows what he's doing. He absolutely knows what he's doing. He then followed up by saying, hey, I'm not smashing Toronto. I said it's a great city. I said it's a diverse city. I just said it's different as a black person. And again, I like visiting, you know, ergo, I don't want to live there, but I like visiting. And then Donovan Bennett, my buddy at Sports News, so funny. The two teams that are right now in the mix are Phoenix and San Francisco. Imagine, by the way, it goes back to the Warriors. And the black population of those cities, Toronto is just like 8%, Phoenix is 7.1%, and San Francisco is 5.1%. So he's like, oh, well, clearly, yeah, as a black guy, you feel a lot more comfortable in those places. So I don't think Chris is right. I have, obviously, friends like my boy Cabby and my boy Randall and other black people of note who enjoyed and love living in Toronto. I guess where I would give Chris a little credit is he's trying to say there's been an issue in the past. Okay, fine. If you want to say Tracy McGrady happens to be black, didn't stay. Antonio Davis, sure. Vince Carter, But again, that's a small sample size, use a baseball term, to try to cast a wide net to all of a sudden say Toronto, which again, anybody, even if you like or hate Toronto living in Calgary, you would know it is a very multicultural city. It's a very diverse place. To say that it's not welcoming to certain people, it's a big miss, I think, by Chris.
Well, and the best part about that, too, is he said pre-U-Jury. So that's a decade ago. Like, what are you talking about? Pre-U-Jury, he's talked to people, and they've had a hard time keeping African-Americans on the roster. It was a bizarre one, and as Adnan said, you can easily find it because it's blown up on Twitter. About a 20-second clip from Chris Broussard yesterday on FS1. And I guess just on that note, like, would you take Durant right now? What's your feel?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've heard people saying, hey, don't trade Scotty Barnes. He was the number four pick, and he's a future star. I'm like, yeah, okay, I get that, but I'll take Durant. I'm like, that guy's a stud, and you can really revamp your team quickly. And I think the East is a lot more wide open than people realize.
Yeah.
I mean, going into the playoffs, right, I would have said maybe the Bucks. Okay, Celtics, good young team. But I never felt like, even with Boston up 2-1, I never felt like they were going to take down the Warriors. Bro, you get Durant in Toronto with Siakam and Anunoby and Van Vliet. You're like, woo, fine. I'll deal Scotty Barnes and picks and money, whatever it takes. That would be one of those Masai-type moves. Bold, aggressive, and you get a top-10 player in the NBA.
Well, and Maddie's going to see Thor this weekend. I know that you're a big Marvel guy, so.
Yeah, it's my son Adin's birthday on Friday. He's turning 11. And I said, what do you want to do? I'll invite your friends over. We'll get some pizza cake. He goes, I want to see Thor. And I said, God, I don't want to see Thor, but I'll do it for your birthday. So I will also be watching Thor Love and Thunder with a bunch of 11-year-old kids on Friday night.
You're like, anything.
I can't wait.
You're like, anything but that, man. Come on.
Yeah, I'll take a baseball game, Jersey Shore, like, you know, unlimited candy, another barbecue. No, I want to watch Thor. Like, okay, maybe that'll get a nap in, but we're going to watch
it. Great stuff, Adnan. Take care of yourself. We'll talk to you next week.
Will and Maddie, the new morning show for now. We'll talk to you boys soon.
Yeah, for now. Keyword for now. See you, Virk.
Okay, see you, boys.
There he is, Adnan Virk, our life insider, MLB and NHL Network, where you can find him south of the border. He joined us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline, 14-time Consumer Choice Award winner for takeout or delivery. Call 403-248-3344 or dine in at Atlas Pizza 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast.
And as we always do to end this hour of the show, it is now time for What You Want to Talk About, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe, your source for everything door-related: sliders, swings, doors, steel door replacements, and germ-friendly wave activation buttons. Visit CalgaryLockAndSafe.com. Germ-friendly wave activation buttons. Those are all the wave now. You see them all over the place. Just wave your hand, boom, doors open, no problem, no buttons, no worries. 960-960, of course, Adnan Virk just joining us and mentioned, is it a cookout or is it a barbecue? And I believe up here in Canada, mostly it's a barbecue, but someone's got a good point. Cookout has to have an open fire.
Yeah, I saw that come in, and I went and Googled cookout, and essentially
you got
says
the definition. Is it like the Webster definition or the Urban Dictionary definition?
What is considered a cookout? It's from some company, barbecuegrills.com.
We went to the source.
A cookout involves fast cooking over a direct heating source, like a gas grill. So they're talking about a barbecue. Of course, a lot of barbecues use natural gas. I personally, I've never heard cookout because I think it's an American term. But I also understand what the texter is referring to, and that is, you know, essentially a open flame.
I think it has to have the open fire. I think it's got to be a big fire, and you just got a bunch of stuff and a bunch of sticks to cook it on. That's more of a cookout.
And from Collins English Dictionary, a cookout definition is a party or entertainment featuring the cooking and eating of a meal outdoors. So, most popular in New England and the Northeast United States.
Shrimp burgers?
Gross.
That was weird, right?
Gross.
Like, is the shrimp ground up? Or is it like full shrimps that have some sort of...
Yeah, somebody
edible
adhesive
to create the burger shape.
When Adnan dropped shrimp burger, somebody texted in saying, just imagining a shrimp burger. Take all these shrimp parts that you don't sell as a whole shrimp, mix them together with some kind of blender. Ew. Yeah, I'd be honest, I've never heard shrimp burger until right now.
Yeah, so I Googled it, and they look kind of deep fried. They just kind of look like crab cakes that that you get off Wish, you know? You know what I mean there?
Mm. Yeah.
Just stick to what you know. Just stick to what you know. Burgers, dogs, Smokies. I don't think there's anything else.
No.
I think that's probably it.
It's a fish cake. So maybe it's a different version of a crab cake.
Still, yeah, I don't want it between my bread, Will. I like a good crab cake, don't get me wrong. Crab arancini, maybe. Get a little nice sauce on it. Mmm.
Well, there's not many arancinis that I would say no to, though.
That's a really good point by you.
Delicious.
Which is so good.
Delicious. To me, a barbecue is a smaller outing. A cookout is an all-day affair, or a Matty Rose rager involving barbecue, no matter if it's a barbecue, smoker, or whatever else.
So we're talking about the length of the event. Are we having a little get-together, or are we tearing one off here? Are we putting the pedal down, or are we going over for a couple pops? I think that's also a fair point of definition.
So pedal down, cookout. Couple pops, barbecue. Canada, toque, USA, knit cap.
Sure.
Canada, dressing room, USA, locker room. And then in all caps, very upset, same texter, let's please stop saying locker room in Canada.
Yeah, it's obviously a dressing room. That's a very big thing to get hung up on.
Well, it's kind of the same thing. Kind of. Seems like there's probably a better hill you could die on. A
bit of nitpicking. Calgary's best burger contest on our station had a shrimp burger and it won. That feels like a lie. That feels incorrect.
Yeah, I don't know if that's accurate.
I know we've done burger competitions, but the shrimp burger won?
Mm-hmm.
Who do we fact check with that?
I don't know. I don't think anyone's going to fact check that.
Everyone's gone.
Shrimp burger. It doesn't feel like that would be a winner, but Rob Kerr was doing afternoons, apparently, when that was the thing. So not too long ago.
Where are you at on the fillet of fish?
Never had one.
Me neither. It's just been one of those things that I think as a kid, you have to almost get bamboozled into having it.
Yeah.
And then when you grow up, you're like, I don't think I'm going to order fish from McDonald's.
Yeah, I never had one. Boys, fillet of fish?
Not very good. I've only had one.
Maybe it was a bad one.
Not very good.
You don't want to give it a second chance? You might just say, hey, maybe it was a bad filet fish?
I think it stinks. I'm out on it.
Duma?
You'll have to say that. I was doing some editing here.
Oh, okay.
Filet fish.
Filet fish? No.
No.
I'm good.
Hard pass.
Have you had one in your life? Have you had one in your life?
Yes, I've had one with cheese.
Ooh,
on it.
With
not
cheese.
Great.
Yeah, I think it's supposed to have cheese.
Yeah,
do you have cheese
have
on
cheese
yours,
on
GVP?
I think it always has cheese.
It's been a while since I had one.
Well,
it was a bite of one. I was like, no, nah, I'm good.
Apparently, there's been confirmed now a couple of people. It did win. But apparently, the restaurant did not stay open long. So
it was from Tuscan, by the way.
Add a filet, a fish filet to a cheeseburger.
No, no, no. Done. Tapped out.
Fried egg?
Yeah, I can do a fried egg. But at that point, you're also not talking about a McDonald's burger. At that point, I made a burger at home. I made some very good turkey burgers last week.
Mm.
Oh, sorry.
Not delicious
for you.
Turkey
burger. Oh, was it a or was it a
Get some of that. Iced tea versus sweet tea. Yeah, same thing. American, Canadian. Remember the very first time I ordered an iced tea in the United States?
Shocked.
Came back and what is this? Oh, you don't put 7,000 grams of sugar in it. Okay, got it.
That seems like a recipe for success. That'll probably do it today, hey? You got one more you want to read?
No, we're good.
What you want to talk about brought to you by Calgary Lock and Save. With a smart lock from Calgary Lock and Save, you can easily manage your locks right from your smartphone. Visit CalgaryLockandSafe.com. This show has been brought to you by Grey Wolf Golf Course, the number one rated public golf course in British Columbia, by Score Magazine, unforgettable mountain golf that perfectly masters the balance between challenge and enjoyment. Escape to beautiful Panorama, BC for authentic mountainside golf with 18 of the most spectacular fairways in the world, capped by the diabolical six-hole cliffhanger. Experience Grey Wolf Golf Course. The 2022 tee sheet is now open. Book tee times now at greywolfgolf.com. That'll do it for Hour 3 of the Morning Big Show. Hour 4 coming up around the corner. Ryan Pike is going to join us, and we're going to talk a little bit of Stampeders football. They're getting set to take on the Edmonton Elks on Thursday. Day 3 of practice is a little bit later on today, and we'll dive right in also with a chat featuring Derek Dennis from the offensive line of the Stampeders. That's all coming up in Hour number 4 right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.